TSA's Large Aircraft Security Program. A bigger threat than user fees? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Max Trescott, who is the 2008 National CFI of the Year. Max also is a flight instructor in California and has a company called Glass Cockpit Publishing, which is a conduit for release of his training materials on the Garmin G1000 series, which is frequently updated. And Max, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hey, Paul, this is an important one. I wouldn't miss it.
Yes, you mentioned importance. The Transportation Security Administration's Large Aircraft Security Program is trundling on down the tracks. You have said to listeners that you view this as a bigger threat to general aviation than user fees. I have to agree with you. Explain why you think this is.
Well, first of all, I think that user fees was something that was clearly understood, and we had a long time to fight about it, and the message was very clearly carried through all levels of Congress, and of course they ultimately were pushed back. Here I think we have something that's coming up a little bit more quietly. There's a shorter period of time to comment about it. Worse than that, it's even more expensive and provides virtually zero benefit. There have been, to date, 2,900 comments filed on this this proposal, and I'm hoping that we'll generate another 1,000 comments here by talking about this. And so pilots, I think, generally agree that this type of security just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The whole idea is premised on the misconception that somehow small aircraft are dangerous. In fact, what the program actually says is that as vulnerabilities and risk associated with air carrier and commercial operators have been reduced or mitigated, terrorists may view general aviation aircraft as more vulnerable and thus attractive targets. If hijacked and used as a missile, these aircraft would be capable of inflicting significant damage. Well, that's absolutely flawed. Mm-hmm. Now, the government themselves has spent millions of dollars researching the capabilities of small aircraft, and they've concluded that there's no way for these to be used dangerously against nuclear power plants and so on. So we're being asked to take on an incredibly expensive program that's going to take away a lot of the freedoms that we enjoy today. So, frankly, I'm not looking forward to a world where the government has to give me permission before I can go fly my airplane. And I can't imagine other pilots are interested in that either.
Well, you know, and you mentioned, too, that the bill for this, which is an estimated $1.9 billion, would result in an estimated charge of $44 per flight. $44 is ballpark what people in Canada pay per year in user fees for a light aircraft.
Yeah.
And we're talking per flight.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just what the cost is now. I would imagine that this is going to greatly decrease the utility of general aviation aircraft. I mean, imagine some poor CEO sitting in the back of the airplane waiting for an hour for the TSA screener to show up at a remote airport in Wyoming. You know, ultimately, they're going to go, this doesn't make any sense. I'll just fly the airlines. And as the activity decreases in general aviation as a result, the costs are going to have to go up. So, yeah, it would be $44 today. But imagine what it might be if we had only half as many flights going on. So I think this is far worse than user fees. And the problem is it gives the illusion that it's improving security, but virtually all the comments, well, in fact, 100% of the comments I've read have been against it. People just don't believe that it's going to improve security. It's just going to inconvenience people and cost a lot of money.
Well, Max, as you've noted, the government has studied the impact of small aircraft in a any kind of imaginable terrorist plot, and determined that it's just not, it would make no sense. And if they were going to actually put this money towards something other than security theater, the TSA would be talking about the compact car security program. Because, I mean, look at what has been the weapon of choice around the world. If you wanted to take a bio or a nuclear dirty weapon and unleash it on a city, the way to do it would be to steal somebody's old pickup truck and park on Lover's Leap and pull the tarp off.
Well, sure. You address the point that a lot of people have made, which is that except for the 9/11, every single major attack in this country has been done with a rented truck. Clearly, terrorists have figured out that you need a lot more hauling capability than you can get in a general aviation aircraft, and it's just a lot more convenient to run down to the local U-Haul or Ryder, rent a truck, load it up with whatever you want, and then go deliver it. And yet, I'm not aware of anything that's been done to increase security for renting trucks in this area, in this country. So it just strikes me that the TSA has just a very, I think, well-intentioned but incredibly misguided approach to improving security.
The guys who are out to hurt us look at this as asymmetrical warfare. These guys can and will adapt to whatever we put in place, and there are terrorists getting on airlines now.
Yeah, in fact, I don't know if you saw the CBS report with Leslie Stahl. I actually happened to see it on 60 Minutes back in December and then found it written up on the Internet when she was there. She was talking with the head of the TSA, Kip Hawley, and Kip said, at this very moment, we have two suspected terrorists in the air right now. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of begs the question, if we have a watch list which is so large that it contains the names of five-year-old children and airline captains, if it's that poorly managed a list that we have to let people get on airplanes anyway, why are we doing that? And that's actually one of the requirements that's going to be proposed as part of this program, is that you and every passenger you bring on your airplane will have to be vetted as part of the watch list. And if your name happens to be on the list, you might not be able to go flying.
Well, Max, when we come back from the break, let's talk about why the number of comments filed to date on this is well under 1% the number of licensed pilots in the United States, and what we need to do to pry some people loose before the end of the week. My guest is Max Trescott, 2008 National CFI of the Year. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Max Trescott, 2008 National CFI of the Year, and evangelist against the large aircraft security program. At least in the current context, Max is urging us to do something by the end of this week. The deadline for public comments is this Friday. Max, what do we do?
Well, it's midnight Friday, and there are a couple things you really need to do. First, I think it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and file a comment with the regulations.gov website and add your voice to the 2,900 other voices that have been added. And it makes sense to do it in a well-thought-out, non-emotional type of way. If you can specifically explain how this would impact your business, as many people have, and why it just does not make sense in its present form, and any thoughts you have on alternatives, then you ought to file those particular comments. A quick, easy way to find that website, if you want to go to my website at maxtrescott.com, you'll find that the current article right now is all about the program. You can read the details of the program, and there are links there that you can click on that will take you directly to this regulations.gov website. I think even more important action to take, and I'll throw this out, if you're only going to do one thing, this might actually be more important. And that is that the TSA is, the oversight for it comes through Congress. Now, and frankly, over the last 7 years, I don't think they've done a whole lot of oversight of the TSA because the needs to improve security in this country. However, I think we've gotten to the point of diminishing returns. It appears that we're now looking for ways to secure things that don't need to be secure at costs which are just way out of proportion to any benefit. And by the way, I had a great quote from the proposal here. This time, TSA cannot quantify the benefits of this program. Although TSA has concluded in this proposed rulemaking that the security benefits of the lower weight threshold of 12,000 pounds are justified by the risk. Well, it's kind of funny they can't quantify the benefits, but they know this has to be applied to airplanes as small as 12,500 pounds. So I think the most effective thing people can do is, if you happen to be from a state where your senator sits on the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, then you really ought to send a note to your senator. And fortunately, some of these are from the most populated aviation states in the nation. So let me just mention a couple of them.
Sure.
If you are from Florida, definitely write a letter to Bill Nelson. If you're from California, as I am, write to Barbara Boxer, who, by the way, when she was in the House, was also on the equivalent committee. So she knows a lot about aviation. Mm-hmm. If you're in Texas, write to Katie Bailey Hutchinson, whose husband, as I recall, took flying lessons. I don't know if he ever actually got his license. These people sit on the committee that provides oversight from the TSA. We need to really let them know that we think that they're overreaching at this point in time. I'll just mention a couple of the other states real quickly here. Jay Rockefeller, West Virginia, Daniel Inouye from Hawaii, John Kerry from Massachusetts, Byron Dorgan, North Dakota, Maria Cantwell, Washington, Frank Lautenberg, who I voted for many years ago when I lived in New Jersey, Mark Pryor, Arkansas, Claire McCaskill, Missouri, Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota's only senator at the moment, Olympia Snow of Maine, John Ensign from Nevada, Jim DeMint, South Carolina, David Vitter from Louisiana, John Thune from South Dakota, and Roger Wicker, I think, is a freshman senator now from Mississippi. So these are the folks that you know, watch over the TSA, work on budgets. I think these are the folks that need to hear from you and need to know that you know, you think things are starting to run a little too far afield.
You know, and you mentioned cost-benefit analysis back a couple minutes ago, Max, and I think for me one of the most concerning things is that some of the costs involved in this are not monetary. I mean, just the constant ratcheting up of the thumb screws on our personal lives really kind of alarms me.
It certainly does. I think that for a long time we kind of accepted immediately after 9/11 the premise that we're going to have to sacrifice, you know, some freedom for security. I think we're getting to the point where we're being asked to sacrifice a lot of freedom for no increase in security. And personally, I think that's just a, you know, misguided, misdirected type of effort. I mean, remember Benjamin Franklin said, "He who sacrifices freedom for security deserves neither." And I think we're getting into the area where we're giving up one and not getting anything for the other.
All right. Now, when these public comments are filed with the Transportation Security Administration, who actually reads them in your experience?
Good question. I don't honestly know, but I'm sure that there's somebody whose task was going through, you know, going through all the comments and, you know, putting down the little check marks as to what people say, which is why I think it makes sense for people, you know, don't be angry about it. Just go ahead and tell them in very clear, you know, well, rationally, you know, thought out reasons for why you don't think it makes sense. Or if you do think it makes sense, go ahead and let them know that. You know, I'm not here telling people what their opinion should be. I'm telling them they ought to be informed on the proposal and let the U.S. Government know about it. It's just that of the dozens I've looked at, 100% of those have all been against the program.
Well, Max, not to get all political on you, but let me point out that these committees in the Senate and the House are run at this point by Democrats. The Democrats are in control in both houses. And the Obama administration has just made a very public plea for accountability in the expenditure of federal funding. I think we have to at some point, you know, speak to our congressmen and senators about the fact that in the current economy, especially, we need to be really, really careful about stamping out tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in sales and revenue and crippling businesses that use general aviation aircraft unless there's an awfully good reason to do it.
It just doesn't make sense to add $1.9 billion in cost to an industry at this time that's running on razor thin margins. Let me mention a couple of requirements, by the way, and I think people start to realize, you know, how this really just is a gross mismatch with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So operators will be required to, ensure that the flight crew has gone through a fingerprint-based criminal history records check, conduct a watch list matching of passengers, and of course, we all know that the watch list doesn't make a whole lot of sense. By the way, what I have read is that it's very easy to circumvent that. All you need to do is use a different variation of your name.
Mm-hmm.
So the airline captain, instead of buying his tickets as Frank Robinson, you know, buys them as F. Robinson and never gets hassled at the airport. So it's kind of silly to have a watch list that's that easy to get around. People would also have to undergo a biannual audit of compliance by a TSA-approved third party, which means you would have to pay a third party to audit your performance in complying with this program. Companies would also have to hire a director of security. I don't know how many Part 135 operations you've seen, but I've seen a number of them that can run with just a couple of people. And being told now to hire a director of security, who you'll have to pay to go through TSA training, and get this, you'll also have to hire a ground coordinator as well to be there. I mean, it's just absurd to be adding a couple extra people to companies to do this. And then the tools. You're not going to be allowed to carry more than 3 ounces of liquid, though I'm sure they'll change that, as I think they're talking about changing that on the airlines. I saw one commenter who said that he routinely carries a knife and, a 4-inch blade something or another, I can't remember the name, so that he could cut the seatbelt if necessary to get people out into the aircraft in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to tell pilots now you can't bring along knives that would cut seatbelts.
Yeah.
Or there was a commenter who was talking about the DC-3 that he flies, and any weapons, shotguns, if you're going hunting, stuff like that, would have to be secured in a compartment that's not accessible from inside the airplane. Well, a lot of airplanes like the DC-3, where there is no such compartment.
Right.
So what would you do? Spend $100,000 to modify the airplane
and then
a compartment in?
Yeah, and then the money to get the STC to do it on a DC-3? Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, essentially, you have to scrap the airplane. One commenter talked about how all he does is fly a 767, and he flies the family that owns the 767 around. Well, you know, the family is going to notice if there's someone who's not supposed to be on board the airplane. So, you know, you just look at it, and you just have to really shake your head.
Well, Max, I have read through briefly the materials posted on your blog, and all the links are fantastic. Really fleshes out the issue and gives people the information they need, I think, to make an informed decision. So let's hope that by the end of this week, maybe we can get the attention of somebody whose opinion will matter and get this into some form that resembles reality and we can work with.
Yeah, I'm certainly in favor of having security that makes sense when it's based on a risk-based assessment of real threats. In this case, I think most people would agree that it's not. So I'm hoping that we can all help our elected officials and employees understand what really makes sense.
I know this is a multi-pronged media effort for you to get this word out, Max, so we'll wish you great success and thanks very much for your work on this.
You bet. My pleasure. I'm trying to help keep general aviation, be an active industry and not get it totally handcuffed and wrapped up in ways that it can't move forward and continue to be productive.
Well, Max, we will hope not. Max Trescott is 2008 National CFI of the Year. You can find out more, as we said, at maxtrescott.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.